What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and today we have an amazing guest, and we're going to talk about something that I love, digital marketing, in particular on LinkedIn. I mean, how cool is that? Pretty much lived on LinkedIn, so I'm really excited about interviewing our special guest today, Mr. Johnny Wenzel. Johnny, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great.
I'm so excited that you're on the podcast today because, again, I love digital marketing, and I think, you know, one aspect of digital marketing that we're really not really touching is that the world of LinkedIn. But before we jump into all of that, let's let the listeners and the followers just get to know you a little bit better. If you could share with us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I ended up taking an internship in marketing analytics, which ended up being digital advertising. Fell in love with it, and I've been running with it ever since. So I've been with Marketing for ECPs for 3.5 years now. I manage the marketing science team, which is pretty much the team of advertising and analytics. And I love what I do. I love getting into the numbers and creating campaigns that drive new patients and business for our clients. And our clients are mostly optometrists or eye care professionals. We do also have some who are B2B clients in the eye care industry, but our niche is anything eye care.
Nice, nice. You know, one thing that I notice is that a lot of folks are all about advertising, but I don't really think they look at the numbers, the analytics behind what they're advertising for. How critical is that to really, you know, make your practice or your business to grow more?
I think it's one of the most important things. I think often people see marketing or hear of marketing, they think, I'm just throwing money somewhere and hopefully it's turning into something. And that's how it's always been. You know, there's that old quote that half of my advertising is working, I just don't know which half. But in the digital world, you can actually track it all and you can know exactly what's profitable for you and what's not profitable if you know where to look.
So are you seeing more people starting to understand analytics and actually realize the value of it now that you're working with eye care professionals one-on-one?
Yeah, it's a big part of what we do is educate our clients. We really want them to understand what we're doing for them and, you know, understand how is their website performing. Are people going to their site and leaving, or are they actually converting or taking an action on that site that's valuable to their practice? And we even try and get it as far down the path as we can to see, are they not just calling or filling out a form, are they actually turning into real patients or real customers? So it's really important, and I feel like we see it with our clients that they're trying to get more into it. They're trying to sink their teeth into it and really try and understand the numbers and the data behind it, because to run a good business, run a good practice, you need to.
Well, I know you're a man of numbers, and myself and Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, my colleague, we always educate eye care professionals about social media platforms. And one thing that we always touch on is, you know, if you're trying to advertise to patients, that Facebook, that Instagram are the best platforms. And when it's more business to business or colleague to colleague, we like to use LinkedIn. Does that seem about right when you're looking at the numbers and seeing feedback from clients and patients?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I know for our own marketing, we're B2B, you know, we target optometrists, and we found LinkedIn works the best far and away. But there is opportunity for some B2C, I think, on LinkedIn. I mean, it's a platform where everyone on it, for the most part, they're working, earning professionals. They're highly educated, which ends up being a higher paying customer. So there is B2C opportunity for sure. But as a rule of thumb, Facebook, Instagram is better for B2C or targeting consumers, whereas LinkedIn is sort of the king of B2B.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I mean, I pretty much live on it. I mean, I have about 14,000 followers and trying to grow it even more. I love the content that's on there. I love the timelines. I love just everyone that's on there. They're always putting out great information. Let's talk a little bit more about LinkedIn in more detail. Me personally, I'm at the point where I feel like I've put out a lot of organic content, but now I feel like I need to step it up and maybe look into more of sponsored advertising. What do you think in regards to that?
I think there's a huge opportunity for it. Typically, LinkedIn is a more expensive platform than you'll find on Facebook, Google, or Instagram, or anywhere else. But that's because the targeting options on LinkedIn are the best in a B2B space. So if you want to sponsor your content and it's specifically for eye care professionals, you can pick who you want to target by job title. Facebook, you can target people who are interested in optometry or maybe who have interest in optometry association, something like that. But actually on LinkedIn, someone said, my job title is optometrist or optometry office manager or whatever it might be. So your ads are for sure and your sponsored content is for sure going to the absolute right person.
See, that's why I like LinkedIn, because you can really see through all the BS, to be honest with you. You can see exactly what someone does for a living. You can see exactly their background. You can see exactly who they're friends with and their colleagues are. And it makes it easier to jump into those circles and have that authentic dialogue, a good conversation, and build a friendship and business relationship as well.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely agree.
So let's talk a little bit more about this sponsored content or sponsored advertising. How does this work? Because I've never touched it at all. I always get these messages in my inbox saying, hey, we want to give you free $50 to do some type of sponsoring ad or something like that. I know there's like different types of routes that you could take, from sponsored content to sponsored email and to text ads. Can you just take it from the top and just tell us how it basically works?
Yeah, sure. So first off, if you get a free $50 to try it, definitely use that free $50 and it'll be well spent on LinkedIn. So there's kind of three main categories. There's lots of different types of ads within those categories, but you had it exactly right with sponsored content, sponsored email, and text ads. So with the LinkedIn feed, you're scrolling down, seeing what your peers on LinkedIn are posting, things like that. And what it does is it natively puts an ad right there. And so it looks like just another post, but it'll maybe have a little, say, sponsored or ad at the top. You see it in Facebook a lot as well. These ones are really good because it's right there in front of the reader. They almost always see it. They don't skip past it as much as, you know, an ad that might be on the side or somewhere else. As such, it's also going to be more expensive to advertise there. It's kind of prime real estate. But if your goal is to generate leads, or maybe get more high quality traffic to your website, this is the best way to go and the best way to really get you that exposure for your brand, whatever your goal may be. With these ones, you can even generate leads directly from the ad. So you pick a certain ad type, which is a lead generation ad. The person clicks the ad and a form pops up, auto fills it with their information because LinkedIn already knows, and they can just submit it and then it goes to you as a lead. So
I like that. That's nice. So if I have a podcast, the Defocus Media podcast, I can advertise that and then have that information and just add that person to my email list, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. So really powerful that way. There's different ad types within this. So you can have a single image. You can have a carousel, which is multiple images that you can scroll through. And those ones tend to be clicked on more than the single images. Or you can have video ads. And I'm a big fan of any sort of video ad. On any platform. Videos taken over, and with everyone on their mobile device and whatnot, people watch video. So if you can kind of whip up some sort of video ad or you have some video content, that's a really engaging, powerful way to get people to interact with your business or your brand.
Well, before you go any further, I want to actually touch on this a little bit more in regards to video content. Do you feel like more of that raw video is better than something that's been touched up and polished? I mean, what are you seeing that's more attractive when people are looking at these ads?
Yeah, it's interesting that you ask. I like to test it, you know. Sometimes as soon as you see someone that looks like they're posting almost like a selfie video or something that's unproduced, there's something raw about that that actually catches your attention and makes you stop. It feels less produced, less like an advertisement. So I'm a fan of those. Also, it's low cost and easy to produce, right? You don't need the nice gear and a studio or anything like that. That being said, there's something to be said about like a really nice, professional, well-done video that makes your brand, I guess, gives it some legitimacy. So for the average optometrist, eye care professional, I would say just shoot one of yourself, talking about your practice, talking about a promotion you have going on, whatever that might be. Have one of your staff film it on their phone. That's probably a good enough camera. And see how it does, and that's probably good enough.
Okay, cool.
You can also, if you had a post or something that a blog article that you shared on your page, you can boost that as well through this type. So when you're actually creating the ad, you can either go from scratch or you can take an existing post you've done and just put some advertising dollars behind that, so it makes it pretty easy. So another type of ad is sponsored in-mail, and if you are on LinkedIn and you use it, you've probably seen this. You go to your message inbox and you see a message from someone you don't know. It says sponsored and they're offering you something. And I personally never click on this, but when I look at the data, there's a lot of people who do click on this and find value from it. So,
yeah, I'm guilty, Johnny. I actually just had someone hit me up. It was an email, and they were saying, hey, we want to get some consulting for you, and let us know how much your fee is for an hour. And I responded back with a fee, so I'm waiting for them to get back to me. But I just received that this morning. So sometimes there's some good content in there, and sometimes there's some stuff that you're like, this is a waste of my life and waste of my time.
Right. I think I get one every other day asking me to, you know, get an MBA somewhere. But it's and that's actually key, right? Is if the message is right, the ad's going to work. That's sort of the key to this whole thing. You can target very precise people, but you want to make sure your message is on point to really entice them to take the action that hopefully is beneficial for them and you. So with these ones, these are really targeted ads, maybe not so useful for like a mass appeal. You're trying to hit like a lot of people with a general message. It's less effective, but if there's like a specific person or a specific type of person you want to reach, these ones make a lot more sense for sure. Another thing about these is it only sends it to people who actively look in their inbox. So you're not going to send it to people who are going to be lower quality or never read it.
Okay, that's good to know, because it's bad to waste marketing dollars, right?
Yeah, for sure. The last type of ad is those text ads, which this is LinkedIn's pay-per-click ads. You only pay for it when someone actually clicks on it. So at the bare minimum, it's some free branding because it'll show up at the side or at the top if it's on a mobile device. It's a quick ad, and if they don't click on it, costs you nothing, but they saw your brand name. So there's power in that for sure. These ones, they're less clicked on than those in-feed sponsored content ads. But because of that, they're kind of off to the side. If someone clicks on it, it's because they're probably pretty interested in who you are or what you have to offer. So these ones, and again, you only pay when someone clicks on it and actually goes to your website from that click. So you're for sure getting some value, and these ones are less expensive because they're not that prime real estate right there in the feed. So it's not a bad idea to diversify your advertising strategy to, you know, have your video ad or your carousel ad that's right there in the feed, but also have a text ad on the side just to see if you can get some good cheap traffic that ends up turning into something for you.
Gotcha. Now, is it just me, Johnny, or does it seem like a lot of these ways of posting these ads are similar to what Facebook is doing? I mean, the carousel, the image, in the news feed. I mean, these things sound very similar and look very similar to what Facebook has going on.
Yeah, it very much is. You find a lot of these platforms end up kind of copying each other and stealing from each other. Even Google search ads, the ones on the Google search page, they're starting to have some kind of carousel type image ads that can show up there. So they're all kind of stealing from each other, because what works for one will probably work for all. There are even some features with LinkedIn, though, that differentiate it from Facebook kind of above and beyond. And so it's interesting, and they're always updating. I feel like every week I log into Facebook and it's released something new or changed something or added a new feature. So it's fun to watch and work with all these different platforms and see how they're evolving into something that's really makes the lives of advertisers much easier.
Now, question for you, does that mean that's going to put your job at risk? Simply because if it's easy for you guys, it's going to be easy for us as well, right?
Yeah, that's what I tell my boss every day. 10 years, I'm going to have to find something else to do. No, but these advertisers that are these platforms, Facebook, Google, they all claim that all this machine learning technology is not replacing advertisers, just assisting them. To be honest, anyone can do this by themselves. You don't need to hire an expert like myself to go in and run your ads for you. It's pretty simple. All the resources are there online. I taught myself how to do all this just researching online. I didn't go to university for it. There's not really many university courses for digital advertising. So anyone can teach themselves these things. That being said, if you're going to spend a lot of money on it, you might want someone who knows what they're doing to actually look at it. Because again, these things change constantly. And it is my full-time job to stay on top of these changes and to be testing and to know what works best, what doesn't, as opposed to, you know, an optometrist. They have a lot more on their plate. They're not going to be able to follow the latest nuances of Facebook ad formats, for example. So if you're just spending a little bit sponsoring a post here or there, probably not worth hiring someone. But if you really want to invest in digital marketing as a whole, it definitely makes sense to get someone who knows what they're doing.
So it sounds like you're always going to have a job there. You're not going to have to invest in that InMail and do that MBA course, right?
Yeah, not in the plans for me.
Gotcha. So now that we know what type of ads there are, can you just kind of walk us through how we actually create the ad?
Sure. So I think before I go into that, it's important to realize that LinkedIn ads probably aren't for everyone.
Okay.
For example, I guess the main reason is you have to target all ads based on geography. And on LinkedIn, the smallest geography you can target is a whole city. So if you live in wherever it is in North Carolina, Raleigh, whatever that might be, and you're kind of have a pocket, you're an optometrist, you have a pocket in the Northeast that you cover, and the rest of the city is like really saturated with optometrists, you don't want to target those people. It might not make sense to you because the smallest that you can target is that whole city.
So that's where like a Facebook will come into play, because there you can actually get down to the zip code, radius, and just really hone in on the target location that you're looking for.
Yeah, you can just drop a pin, say target a mile around here. So on Google, Facebook, Instagram, if that's kind of more your priority, that makes sense. That being said, something cool you can do on LinkedIn is you can target actual business names. So if you're in a downtown area or you're surrounded by a bunch of big businesses or small businesses and you know their names, you can go in and say target employees of T-Mobile, because there's a big T-Mobile corporate building right next to you. So people in T-Mobile who live in my city, that way you can keep it local. And so that's kind of a workaround, but it's a bit of a unconventional workaround. And I'd recommend, max out on Facebook and Google before you want to step it up and go somewhere else with LinkedIn is probably your best option there.
Okay.
But if you are a B2B user, it absolutely makes sense because you can get really specific to job title. We've worked with suppliers and others in the eye care industry that they love LinkedIn. We've targeted all of North America and seen a lot of success. So you can get pretty small, pretty granular, or target the whole world if you want to. When it comes to actually setting up the campaigns, it's pretty easy. First, you need a business page before you can do anything. So if you don't have a LinkedIn business profile, you have to create that first. And once that's created, you can just navigate to the campaign manager. The way I do it, and there might be other ways, is if you click on admin tools on the page, there'll be a drop down that says sponsor your updates. Click on that, you go to campaign manager. You can manage all of your LinkedIn advertising from there.
Now, Johnny, with that, do you have to have X amount of followers on your company's page before you can actually do any sponsored content?
No. So you can create a page and start ads an hour later once you've built the campaign.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they really want to make it easy and seamless for anyone to, it makes sense, right? Because the dollars go to them. So
Right.
Because easy as possible for people to pay them money. So from there, LinkedIn's made the process so easy and so simple that you can just, with no prior experience, even without listening to this podcast, you could probably go in and follow the steps and come out with something that looks pretty good. You want to pick your goal, which will probably be, for most people, website visits or lead generation. They have a few others like brand awareness or getting followers. For someone like yourself, maybe you want more LinkedIn followers, so that could be a goal that you select. But for probably a typical listener, website visits or lead generation. And then from there, it just guides you through all the steps that you can take. So you pick the type of ad that you want. Do you want a single image, a carousel, a video ad, a text ad? There's an ad, you might have seen them if you've been on LinkedIn, called Spotlight Ads, which kind of intrigued me, where it will kind of follow you around LinkedIn and put your picture and your name in the ad and say, Johnny, maybe you're looking at a new CRM for your business. Check out this CRM. And so that one's kind of interesting that I haven't tried yet, but I'm thinking about giving it a test with maybe one or two of our clients. But once you pick the ad type, then you move on to targeting. So you pick the geo that you want, and then you can pick, that's where you get into picking job titles, different age ranges that you're looking at. So this one, you just pretty much want to pick whatever is going to be, it's whatever your target demographic is. We work with some clients and they say, I want millennials. Okay, so age range 25 to 35, whatever you might be. And we don't even do a job title in that case because the job titles range. Or you can just add a bunch of, I want high spenders, like kind of luxury clients. Okay, so I'm going to add anyone with job title of CEO or executive or vice president, whatever that might be. And if you are B2B in the eye care industry, you can add optometrist, office manager, things like that.
And with this, you can also target businesses as well, right?
Yeah, and that's where you'd put in actual business names.
Okay, all right, cool.
And so, and it's fun, you can get lost kind of in there playing around with all the options, but at the end of the day, hopefully you come up with, you know, a good audience that is who you're really trying to reach. From there, you actually go and then create the ads. So I guess a few pro tips on that is it might be tempting to write all the information there, but shorter tends to be better. You know, short, powerful values or benefits that you're offering. Make sure that you have a call to action somewhere in the ad that says, you know, visit our website, book today, learn more now, something like that. Call to actions, just in all the data and testing that's been done, almost always work better than not having it. And make sure that the imagery is compelling. The good test that I use if you're doing an image or a video is I just think, if I was scrolling down my LinkedIn feed, is this something that makes me, you know, stop and actually look? Or is it a stock photo that is the most forgettable thing I've ever seen in my life?
Yeah, stock photos are the worst. When Jen and I are actually teaching courses on social media, we always say, throw that stuff out the window, get more personable and take pictures of yourself or your team or, you know, just something that's going to be exciting to the eye, right? Because like you said, what are you going to be excited about? Your patients, your colleagues, your clients, they're all going to be in tune to the same thing that you're in tune to as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually scrolling the other day and there's a video of someone who just was skipping a rock on a pond, and it was a very raw shot, little video there. And so I stopped and looked at it. It's just the way it was shot. It was simple, but there's an action going on. It was random. Like, why is he skipping a rock? And I looked at what the ad was about and it said, got you to stop and watch that video, didn't I? Now that I have your attention, let me teach you about advertising.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were going to tell me it was another NBA thing, man. No,
but, you know, apparently, I'm a good candidate. I just thought that was brilliant. It's like, yeah, you just need something that's going to get their attention enough to stop. And that's sort of the job of the images to get them to stop. And then the job of whatever you write, the headline, the text, is to convince them to go to your website or fill out that lead gen form.
Now, Johnny, quick question for you. When we're doing these videos and we post them and we're doing a sponsor ad, can you choose what's going to be the face of the video or whatever the video starts with? That's basically what the clients are going to see or potential clients are going
to
see.
Yeah, it gives you an option to pick the thumbnail that that shows up. So you'll be able to make sure you're not making that really like weird, ugly face that happens in between two words. And that's what shows up before they push play.
That kills me, man. Like, sometimes I've done some videos and I've posted it on Instagram or Facebook, and like every angle was like an ugly angle. I'm like, what is going on, man? I need to fix my face, man.
Yeah.
It's you got to redo the whole video then, you know?
Yeah. Expressive people tend to get it worse too. You know, those that really use their eyebrows and their hands and stuff. So
yeah, that's me. That's me to a T, man.
I can tell. Cool. So moving on, another tip is I like to create multiple versions of each ad. If I don't have like a video and a image to test against each other, then maybe even just the same image, but let's try different headlines, try different wording. Always be testing two different versions of that ad, so that when you go back later to see how it's doing, you can find one that works better than the other and run with that one. And you know for sure that you have a better message out there on LinkedIn.
So when you do that, how long do you give yourself to track that? I mean, is this something that's a few days, a week, a month? I mean, how do you know when you're getting good data between the two?
Yeah, so you can't really do it by time, because if you have a big budget, if you're spending $10,000 a day, you can probably get that data in an hour. If you're spending 10 bucks a day, it might take a few months before you get any sort of good data on it. I like to make decisions when there's about 1,000 impressions and 100 clicks. Sometime around there is when I'm starting to feel that. And I do this based off gut, because I've done this for a long time. If you want to be very precise about it, there's a lot of online calculators called statistical significance calculators. And you put in the results of one and you put in the results of another, and it'll actually tell you how confident you can be that one is better than the other. And so for those cases where I'm not quite sure, I end up using those quite a bit.
Oh, wow. I never even heard of that. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it'll say, like, you know, you were 95% confident that version A is the winner, so you should run with that. Or it might say, you know, we're not confident at all, you should probably keep testing it. So lots of different types of those. If you use Google search, statistical significance calculator, it'll be pretty easy to use. Last pro tip is, you'll see when you're creating ads, there's an option to create conversions. This is something that if you can make happen, definitely make happen. There's something called the LinkedIn Insights tag, which is just a little code that you put on your website that lets you track what's going on your website and with the LinkedIn traffic that's going there. And if you know a little bit about websites, or you know you got a good relationship with the person who manages your website, you can set up an additional code that can track certain actions on your website. So if someone fills out a form or they land on a certain page, you can have that give feedback back to LinkedIn saying, yeah, they converted, they took the action that I want them to take. And you can actually later on when you're measuring and trying to see what's working, what's not, have that number of, okay, so version A of my ad had 10 people who filled out a form, version B only had 4. I think version A might be better. Or just an overall, the whole campaign, I spent $1,000 on it, I got 10 leads, so $100 cost per lead. And based on your business goals, that may or may not be good.
Gotcha. Okay. So we know how to create, we know how to target. The next big deal is all about the money. How do we set this budget?
Yeah, so it's right there. It's really easy. You can either pick a daily budget or you can do a lifetime budget. So if you say, I want to spend $1,000 to see how it goes, you put in that $1,000 and you see how it goes, or you set that daily budget. And it's right there in the, when you're building the ads, it'll have you set that budget. It'll also give you the option for, you can either pay for your ads by impression or by click, depending on the type of ad that you choose. And so you'll pick an ad type and it'll walk you through your options of, well, I want to pay, you know, $5 per click or $10 per click. And it will give you an estimate of what it thinks that you should do. So when you're doing B2B, that tends to be expensive. It can be up to $20 per click if I'm targeting other optometrists, for example. For other more general ones, you can get away with, you know, $2 to $7 per click. So it's a lot more expensive than, you know, Facebook, where it tends to be anywhere between 20 cents to a dollar for a click. Same on Instagram. But again, it's a higher quality click. You're targeting for sure the right people. So whatever the recommendation is, if it's $7, $9, I like to go a little bit under that, maybe set it to $4 or $5 just to see if I can, you know, get it for a bit cheaper than it's recommending. And when I go back in to measure later, if I feel like I'm not getting that much exposure, I'm not reaching that much traffic, okay, maybe I'll raise the bids a little bit to try and get higher prominence to show these ads more. And a really good feature that LinkedIn Ads has is it will show you, it'll give you an estimate of how many people you can expect to see, how much traffic you can expect to get based on the budget that you enter and the targeting settings that you have. And so if you enter in your budget and you're like, oh, I'm only going to hit 5 people a day, I want more than that, then you know you got to raise that budget or raise your bids.
Gotcha. So you work with people day in and day out with budgets. As an optometrist, a private practice owner, if they're trying to get into that LinkedIn game and maybe target some high-end clients, if they have a luxury eyewear shop, the CEOs, the VPs, all those guys, what do you recommend in regards to a budget to start with? And I know that's kind of hard to answer, but just for those people that are listening and are trying to get started with this, what's the average amount that you think they should invest?
Yeah, so you know, I like to look at marketing as a whole. I'd want to know what they're spending on their other platforms. But in terms of a minimum of, you know, you should spend probably this much to get a good idea of whether or not you want to keep going with this. Anywhere between $250 and $500 a month to start, I think would be good. You can do smaller, like you can just, if you want to boost a post for $50 and just see what happens, like anything can happen. But if you really want to vet the channel as, is LinkedIn Ads somewhere that's going to generate true leads for me, over $250 is probably a good idea.
Gotcha. And just in general, how much money should eye care professionals actually budget for marketing?
So I'm a numbers nerd, so it depends on their growth goals and depends on a lot of things. So, and marketing as a whole is different than, you know, just how much should they be advertising with. So, I mean, marketing as a whole, I like to think that they should have, you know, at least a part-time marketing employee that they're paying for. And if it's not in-house, then they're putting that money into ads. They're putting that money into a strategic partner that's doing it for them or an agency. But in terms of a marketing budget, and the more you spend, the more you'll grow if you're doing it right. Most of our clients, if you're an optometrist, will spend about, give or take, $1,000 on Google search ads, and then $500 between Facebook, Instagram, Google Display, or LinkedIn, or YouTube. So $1,500 in terms of actual media spend advertising spend. And above that, you want to invest in a good website. You want to invest in good recall campaigns. Kind of the whole picture is going to be a bit more of an investment. That's a lot more than that. But in terms of how much should I be, you know, paying Google or Facebook on ads, at least $1,500 a month. We've had some clients go a lot higher, over $5,000, $10,000 a month. But it depends on how many locations you have, what your capacity is, what your goals are. And I guess how much you're willing to risk to get the return.
Makes sense. Now, circling back to LinkedIn, as far as your ads, once we've created them, we targeted them, we set the budget, I mean, you're a numbers man. Let's talk about how we can actually measure all this stuff.
Yeah, so LinkedIn has a pretty good reporting platform. At least it's pretty simple. If you go back to that campaign manager, after you've created it, you'll be able to see, you know, the stats of that campaign. So often we'll launch something for a client. 2 days later, they say, how is it going? And we'll say, well, it's only been 2 days, so we can't really tell. And so you have to be a little patient. You got to let that data build up before you can really tell how things are working, how they're going. Usually I check after a day or two just to make sure it's running the way I thought it was. And then I'll check a week later to see if it's on pace about the way I thought it was. But usually 2 to 4 weeks, I'll start to evaluate the actual campaign. And so there's two main metrics that you probably want to look at, maybe three. The first one is click-through rate, or CTR. And this is a measure of, you know, how clickable are your ads. And so it's the number of times your ad is seen. You divide that by the number of times it's clicked, and it's just, you know, the rate of people clicking on your ads. So anything on LinkedIn, I find anything over 1% is good, which might seem low, you know, 1 out of 100 people, but people are pretty trained to, they know what an ad is, and they usually don't click on them that much. So anything over 1% is, I would say, acceptable.
I'm glad you said that amount, because if I started paying for some ads and I saw 1%, man, I'd be like, man, I'm wasting my money here.
Yeah. So that's at least a decent, people are at least somewhat interested in the ad. And especially for the cost per click ones, I mean, the click-through rate doesn't matter in terms of profitability. It's, you pay the same amount only when they click on it. So it doesn't matter if the click-through rate's 0.01%. You're only paying when they click. The other thing to look at is average cost per click. Or average CPC, as it says in the campaign manager. And that one, it's every time someone clicks on it, how much are you paying? Or if you're paying per impression, which is an option that sometimes happens, it'll still give you what you're paying on average to get someone to click once. So if you find that your cost per click is, if you're an optometrist, over $10, over $15, then chances are that's not profitable for you, because once they click, they still got to go to the website. And not everyone who goes to the website becomes a patient. And not everyone goes to the website calls. And if they do call, not everyone who calls become a patient. So unless you're closing everyone at from website to booking an appointment at 100%, chances are if the cost per click's over $10 or $15, it's not profitable for you. If you were able to set up that conversion tracking, then you'll be able to see a stat called cost per conversion. And that's the most important thing to be looking at, because this is how much are you paying for someone to fill out a form, or if you have it set up to do a call, to call your business from your website. And those stats are, you know, at the end of the day, that's how much you're paying for the phone to ring, and that's what you want. So if you have a target, and the industry average for this tends to be about $25, $30, a good cost per conversion or cost per lead. So if you're getting that anywhere around or below that, then you can probably say that LinkedIn advertising is working for you.
So as you mentioned before, when it comes to LinkedIn and these sponsored posts, I mean, this is big money. This is not like your Facebook, your Instagram, where, you know, it's a couple cents on a dollar or whatever it is to invest into these leads. You're going to pay premium dollar for these premium clients that you potentially could have.
Yeah, for sure. So if there's anything you can do to close that feedback loop, and I think it's a good idea for any practice to ask, hey, where did you get your patient from? Have their front desk ask that, or how did you hear about us? And if people are saying LinkedIn, then it'd be a good idea to just track that however you can and say, you know what? Yeah, they came from LinkedIn, and look, they bought these really expensive frames with AR lenses, and they got multiple pairs. So if you can kind of start to get that sense, that's a good idea. It's difficult right now to track that through like Google Analytics or just online only. So having your staff ask is a good way to do it. And if they say, hey, we keep getting LinkedIn people, then, you know, you found yourself a winner.
And even if maybe you have something like, you know, a discount code, you know, LinkedIn could be the discount code. And they come in and say, oh, yeah, I find you guys on LinkedIn. I get 10% off of a complete pair of glasses or something like that. That could help track it a tad bit more. And you could actually use that for any of the social media platforms, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Say Facebook, 10%, LinkedIn, 10%, Instagram, 10%. But if they come in with the names, it's no, well, let me see where this code came from. It's directly to the point, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a great solution for that, for sure. The last thing that's kind of cool is LinkedIn's a good opportunity for you to remarket to your website visitors. If you have that tag on there, if someone lands on your website and they leave, and they go on LinkedIn, you can hit them up with an ad that, you know, they've already been to your website, they have some interest, that can be more personalized, that can be very specific to someone you know has already shown some interest. And where that's important is Google does not let you do that in the eye care industry. They'll ban all remarketing ads because they consider it a health service, and there's some sensitive health information. Even the fact that you need glasses is a privacy thing. So you can't do remarketing ads on Google. Facebook, you can usually get away with it, and LinkedIn just gives you another platform where, you know, they went to your website, they're still thinking about it, now they're on LinkedIn. You just reminded them, hey, have you booked your exam yet? Book with ABC Optometry. And that can be the thing that pushes them over to book that exam.
So Johnny, thank you so much for breaking down everything from top to bottom about LinkedIn. I mean, this is a pretty powerful platform, and I know all of us as eye care professionals are learning it every day, and we feel like we're newbies at it. And you really gave me, and I'm pretty sure everyone else, some good insight on how to utilize this platform better. What is the takeaway that all optometrists should have from this podcast when it comes down to LinkedIn ads?
So I'd say if you're not an optometrist, or you are and you have any sort of B2B interest, use LinkedIn, shift budget towards LinkedIn. It is going to be your moneymaker for sure. If not, it's a really good thing to experiment with. When the Google environment and even the Facebook and Instagram environments, they're getting very crowded and very more and more expensive, and there's so many different advertisers on there, as opposed to LinkedIn is less utilized that way, especially B2C. So there's a real opportunity for people who want to, you know, target in B2C to really kind of be unique and tap an untapped market in the digital advertising world. So might as well try it. Throw a couple $100 towards it. Take a video of yourself talking about a promotion, talking about why your practice is so great. Invite them to, you know, book an eye exam with you and just see what happens.
Well, for anyone that wants to know more about this and want to reach out to you, what's the best contact information, email, social media handle? How can they get in touch with you, Johnny?
Yeah, I love talking about this. I can talk about it all day for sure. So you can look me up on LinkedIn. I guess that would be a good way to do it. just Johnny Wenzel on LinkedIn. Or definitely you can send me an email. It's just johnny@4ecps.com. So it's Johnny with an H at 4ecps.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, and you have a great one, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.